Well, welcome everybody to the San Diego DJ Association.
Yay, Diana! Yay!
Glad you guys are all here. So as you know, I'm the president, and right over here is Jerry Beck. He's the vice president.
Hello.
And then we have here Michael Bordet. He's in charge of the treasury, so if you guys want to pay for your food, just a gentleman.
If we want to.
If we want to.
Wow, I didn't realize there was wiggle room on that.
And today we have a special guest, Ron Jones. And then we have some special guests here, so what I'll do is I'll just kind of introduce myself and tell a little bit about what I do. This is my husband and I. We do weddings, we do bar mitzvahs, we do kids events, we're interactive in our company's demo DJs, and we've been doing it since 1994. So then now we have a guest here, his name is Mark, and he can tell you a little bit about himself.
Hi. I moved down here from Newport Beach. I've been DJing since 1977, and I primarily do weddings, corporate events, and thought I'd come meet you guys in case you wanted to meet a good DJ. Never know when you need one, an extra one. And last thing, I have a couple of JBL Eons for sale, if anybody's interested in them. They're about this big, but I didn't bring them.
So are those 12s or 15s?
I don't know.
Probably 12.
Are
you a
technical group?
Yeah.
Are you studying the
beating
at $30?
You are. I'm asking. I don't need to see that.
Around 800,
costing close to 2,000.
His hasn't been dropped, though.
Yeah,
mine has been dropped. He's probably
James Young. I'm at
Gideon's
too. Moving right along.
I'm Jerry Beck, owner and operator, janitor, DJ at Beck's Entertainment. Just a local DJ, just trying to get gigs. Call it as I see it.
This is so cool.
Pam Malone, partypam.com. My specialty is weddings, parties for adults. I tend to shy away from bar and bat mitzvahs, so if you guys do them,
more power.
Yep. And thank you, Pam, for your referrals in the past.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think that's part of what makes this association such a culture.
I wouldn't do the job for free, but I definitely am into the warm fuzzy, so if I don't think I'm going to get it, I turn the gig away. So if you can give the kids a warm fuzzy, more power to you.
A warm fuzzy.
I'll send those to as well.
Totally. Yeah.
My wife, Kathy.
Debbie!
Hey!
And I'm Ron Jones, and it's a pleasure for me to be back again. I've been away for a couple of years. I just wrapped up my commitment in a volunteering sense with the La Jolla Rotary Club. That was a major time suck. And I stepped down from the presidency just 2 weeks ago.
So you're not going to stop by La Jolla by the Seymour? No,
the concert by the sea began last Sunday. So on Sunday afternoon at La Jolla Cove, for the past 29 years, is La Jolla Concerts by the Sea from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And we had a picnic there a couple years ago, and it was a lot of fun. But we get a couple
twice.
Of twice, that's right. We get a couple of thousand people down there on Sunday afternoon to free concerts. And this is my 16th season of emceeing that particular, which was a lot of fun. Mm. And gratifying. I get the warm fuzzies, and that's about all. It doesn't pay at all. Mm. But certainly, the elevation or profile of the community of La Jolla is a plus.
They are still doing
that. Oh, yes. Yes, we just opened up the season on Sunday. So we've got 7 more shows. So if it's worthy, you can check that out. Website. Edward Sanchez.
Edward
is our webmaster for the concerts. And he put together a really great site. So, La Jolla Concerts.
Maybe we can have our picnic there again. We haven't had one yet.
We've got some great shows coming up. Every one of them is a winner. But we won't be disappointed.
It's I think the 4th of July. They have a concert that goes on. We it's have a great
July. You did our reunion.
I have music. I
was picnic at the same time at the concert.
I did the music.
They got old.
Okay.
Didn't have to pay the band.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it?
I can't find them either.
either. I still look for them.
What I brought in today, I was cleaning out the garage.
That was not off your website.
Diane! Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
I brought in a whole lot of material that has been in my garage for the past 20 years. And it's just kind of fun to remember this. And this is for Diane to take and keep for the records. I've got more files and things I have to go through, and I'm just tossing it up. But this is for, I think, the museum, the Ammo Museum, DJ Association Museum. And people want to take something home, that's fine too. That's what it's for. Unless you already got your own copies, if some of you do. As far as my business, Allegro Entertainment has been on the books for the past 25 years, and I've been focusing on weddings. But in the past 6 months, I've changed direction just a bit. And a lot of you already know that because I emailed you the new direction, the demographic of that is the baby boomers. Well, you have to an underserved group. There's no company in town that's focusing on that particular age group, 50 and up. And that's what I'm going with that, yeah. And nobody's still here. And a lot of guys do these parties, but, you know, it's a specific musicality that these people expect. Mike is in the ballpark. He knows Ed B. Over there. Bobby Bradley, I'm just saying, some of the boomers in the room understand that he can go so far with researching
me on
the top 40, you know, magazines, but you can do it first with your knowledge. As a matter of fact, over the last weekend, the Humphreys was a neat show. It was the Happy Together show. Mm. On the card were the Buckinghams, the Grassroots, Gary Puckham without Union Gap, Mickey Dolenz on his own, backed up by the Turtles.
Yeah.
As a rapper for the show. It was quite a show. A lot of fun, and the audience was boomers. So there's still a lot of life left in that group. Mm-hmm. So there you are.
Yeah.
And as far as the countdown, have I been giving up a few minutes? We'll go there in a few.
Hello, Drew Miller, Unity Sounds Mobile Music. I've been DJing since 1983, doing weddings since 89. And weddings, corporate events mainly. Some karaoke, though. My good friend Michael Burdett always is nice enough to lend me and even house his older karaoke rig at my house. So thank you, sir. So I'm still doing the karaoke here and there when the call arises. Good stuff there. Business kind of up and down as it's been for me the past couple years. But recently got into a passion, which is live music, and formed a New Orleans-style brass band called Euphoria.
That is very, very good. Band,
which thank you very much, dear.
Got any CDs here?
As a matter of fact, I do. And we were written up in the Troubadour magazine recently. The CD's getting wide acclaim from Offbeat Magazine in New Orleans to the Reader here in Troubadour, and we've been nominated for a San Diego Music Award. So within a little over a year, we've just taken it like that. So it's New Orleans-style brass band, like Rebirth Brass Band or Dirty Dozen Brass Band, or even going back to Olympia Brass Band and stuff like the Jazz Funerals and the Second Lining in the Streets. We do all that, as well as a stage show. And so it's been really neat to put this band together and co-lead it and get it kind of plugging along. And it's been a great outlet for me. And all this going on, you know, with my mom's situation, and it's just like the light that helped me move forward. And just that little bit of reprieve from all the mundaneness of things. So anyway, that's what's been happening. Been a lot of shows and great stuff going on.
Public or private?
A little of both. We've been doing a lot of club dates, festivals, private stuff, weddings, a couple weddings, some corporate events.
Can you blast us all on your events?
Absolutely.
Carlsbad concerts in the park.
Yeah, we have
in August.
Yeah, we got the Carlsbad TGIF concert series coming up in August on the 3rd. Yeah.
Drew, the band name again?
Euphoria. Euphoria. I have cards.
So is that like Louisiana?
Yeah, it comes from New Orleans. It was our street tradition started in New Orleans back in the Civil War days.
So the horns.
Horns, yeah, we got a front line of trombone, trumpet, sax, clarinet. I'm playing bass drums. I have a drummer from New Orleans who's a snare drummer, and we have a tuba player who handles all the bass.
Or
a
tuba. Place, David?
Yeah, he, you know, I kind of moved back to New Orleans. Yeah, I just talked to him the other day. He's coming out.
Great card.
What's that?
I thought you played the slide.
No, no, I'm banging on that bass drum. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And so we're doing just
it's a great bunch picture.
Of stuff.
Great. I like your card.
Thank you.
Keep thank you. Keep a good tight grip on that, Susan.
You're fine trying to see. That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants one.
Yeah.
That's a great photo.
Thank you. Thank you. Gentleman came out and we kind of did a little crazy with him and it worked out. So it's been a lot of fun. In fact, I have an article. That article, Michael, you're mentioned in there, so I have to give you that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been an accident.
You can
Wow, that's pretty darn decorative.
They told me
it's just like an optical illusion.
I can see
it off all. Yeah, I see it. All right.
Hey, Drew, this isn't the only card you have.
No. Yeah.
I want to make sure. I want to keep it.
What is that?
I
got three more.
I got like three on my pinko. Isn't there a band called the Troubadours? There's a band called the Troubadours right now.
I'm not familiar with it. It wouldn't surprise me. So that's the latest craze.
What's the gift today?
Okay, the raffle is going to be this band shirt. Vans has been our sponsor for something like 30 years. They give us free. They give our whole family, everyone, free shoes. So they've been doing it for years before we started DJing. They're professional skateboarders. They still are.
I've seen some YouTube of you guys.
I know. People keep posting like crazy stuff of us back in the days. Like
80s stuff.
Yeah, 80s stuff. I mean, we go way back. But they still sponsor us, even though we haven't competed in 20 years. They still hook us up. So I'm giving away this shirt.
Yay.
And the band's hat.
Yeah.
You want to get sponsored by dye companies. Hair dye companies.
What's that?
You can get sponsored by hair dye companies.
We got sponsored by Shimano one time. Shimano Reels. Because we would put their name in our shows. We used to do a show called Athletes Against Drugs.
No, I'm talking about this. Okay,
you said that, not me.
I still have a long ways for that, so I don't have to worry about that.
So they would just pay you before the gig at work. So they would pay you just to show their name.
Which show?
Like when they're sponsoring you.
They just give us free shoes because we're, you know, Primo, we perform now and then. Like Primo, they'll fly him out to different corporate events and he'll DJ and then he'll do this bust out the skate show. And so they see us that we're still
alive.
Yeah, we're still doing it. We're still skating. You know, it's not like we lost the touch. We can go out and do a demo. No problem. Yeah, skateboard.
It's a very green method of getting around.
Yeah, I think we pulled away from the around.
Yes, now we're at Eric. So,
Eric Sands, Sundance Productions, still doing bar mitzvahs. But so that's pretty much all I do. Although I am doing a wedding for the first time in a long time in September. A little nervous about it, quite frankly.
I'll do it for you.
I got the rabbi wants a microphone. I don't have a lapel deal, but I got this thing that somebody told me about online for $13. This should be, this is a pretty cool, you sort of put it around your neck, it's adjustable, stick the wireless in here, and then the head is right there.
It looks huge, though.
Well, you can adjust it, but it's for an SM50 head, or I guess it's, I don't know, I haven't even put my mic in there yet, but I guess you can spread it apart.
Well, that's
and you can adjust it, and then the mic is right here, then the hands are free, and then the bride can take it if they want, but, so, it'll be at the Valley High, and, have you guys had any problem with RF subway communication interference with the wireless microphones at Valley High?
Not there.
No.
Not there, but right across the water.
Yeah, there's no transmissions going on around there.
I have. At the Molly High.
Yes, Molly High.
I don't know. I was using wire.
For sure. ULF or U.
And it's a good thing it happened right before it started. It was just loud noise.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
You know, maybe worth your while to run the wired mic.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
That's what some people are saying.
I'm a big fan of that.
Especially on a mic stand. And, I'm sorry, what was that?
You know, what I've taken to doing is I run a long XLR wire to my wireless and try to put it as close to the,
that's good.
Thing as possible.
Exactly, yeah.
Because a wire, you know, if the guy is tethered, then.
And two more questions. What percentage of the time, I know it seems to be as pros and cons of using the windshield, wind guard on the mic, do you guys use that most of the time or don't use it or... If it's outdoors,
I use it all the time, but it's limited in its capacity to filter out a stiff breeze, and the guy has to kind of put his back to the breeze.
Yeah, right.
If they're willing to.
If they're facing the breeze, you're still going to hear.
Yeah. And then lastly, do you have any thoughts on having the ceremony speakers in front of the crowd versus in back of the crowd?
I haven't been back because the people in front can usually hear the minister. So, it's the people in back that
can.
You're talking about the Valley High, right?
Yeah, specifically there, but just generally, I mean, at a wedding, do you ever have objections where the family or the bride and groom doesn't want two speakers in front of the whole?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, why don't you put them in the tree at the Valley High?
Yeah.
I mean, not in the tree, but in that shrubbery. Seriously.
There's also the practical aspect.
I set up just right there.
And the
back.
Power is right there, too. So it don't make sense. Yeah.
Okay.
The power is there. Just
there's also the practical aspect. Usually, if I'm setting up a ceremony as well, I have to get from the ceremony to the other place. So unless I have somebody else helping me out, it's nice to have it behind people because you can get the gear out of the
right, way. Right. That's what I was thinking. Right.
I have it on the side. Just throwing it across them, too.
Yeah, that's from the side. So you are from the side. But the cool thing is that you could just turn it around and do the cocktail area.
Right.
You don't have to like
moving.
Oh, yeah. So you're adjacent. Ceremony, you're going to be outside.
Ceremony's outside, reception outside.
And ceremony on the
new area.
I think there's a grass area.
You got a little green area there.
You can also plug into the house speakers for the cocktail hour for outside.
They have house speakers there?
Yeah, we have.
Do they have house speakers that are worth it?
I would count.
I never use anybody else's.
I've never heard of house speakers that are worth it. Unless it's a brand new.
Yeah, I know they did renovation.
And the owner is always there, so you know he's not going to be like, yeah, sure, use ours.
I've always gotten, yeah, go ahead and use it, and I'm like, no, thanks.
It's hard enough trying to get them to turn it off so I can
right.
Let alone plug in.
Yes.
Hi guys. Hello. I just want to say hi. I'm Diane. I'm with the hotel.
Okay.
So thank you guys for coming here. Are you?
I'm Diane.
You're Diane.
Yeah.
Hi, Diane.
Diane.
Hi. Can I just stop there?
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
I wanted to give you a quick little rundown of what we are, who we are, what we do. We have Hilton Garden Inn and Home and Suites, but primarily all of the events that we do are over in this property. I have the doors open in case you guys want to peek in. But we have 3,200 square feet. We don't do a lot of weddings. I know that most of you probably target weddings. We don't do a lot of weddings. We do a lot of corporate bar moments and things like that.
So,
we like to target a few different things, but for right now, that's kind of what we do.
Do you guys do the bridal bazaars? Are you a presence at the bridal bazaars?
No, we haven't seen a huge demand for a wedding, so we haven't. I'm not quite sure how to approach it yet.
But
I'd love to have something. So.
Question over here.
Yeah.
What makes a Hilton Garden Suite? What
Hilton
is it?
Garden Inn. Hilton Garden Inn is kind of a step down from a Hilton. It's like an in between Hilton and
Okay.
Doubletree is kind of along the lines of what we are. So it's not a complete full-service hotel, but it's a little bit more limited service. But we still, our property is very unique in a sense that we have a full restaurant. We also have a spa on site, which, you know, other hotels are in does have. So some of the amenities we have are almost full-service, but not considered full-service. So my selling point's really, you're going to get personalized service. There's one catering manager, that's me, one of them. We're very attentive. I work. A lot of people who come to this property do not have a coordinator. So I am the coordinator, essentially. That's why it's very important for me to work with you guys. And I work with timelines and things like that.
Do you do the timelines?
What's that?
Do you do the timelines, or does the
DJ? I usually do a big timeline, and then I go back with the DJ and kind of see between me and the DJ and the client what type of timeline will work best, because I know that you might have an agenda with games, things like that, that might work better.
I've got a wedding at your Carlsbad property in a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, that one's pretty.
How many? I only just recently became aware of the garden suites or garden.
How many do you have?
Are they new properties? I was asking. Is this a new property? Did you take over?
This one was built in 07.
As a garden,
it's a brand new. In San Diego, there's a Rancho Bernardo, and there is a Carlsbad, which is a beautiful property right by the ocean, across the ocean. Really, really nice.
What's the capacity for the event?
Here, 150 with the dance floor. I would say I've pushed 170. I don't like to, but when clients are, you know, their numbers increase, we kind of just have to sometimes. But 150, I would say, is a good number.
The average is for most of the weddings.
Yeah, definitely. So, I would be more than happy to show you guys around later on. I'll be able to stick around if you want me to show you the space. I can do that, or you can kind of just take a peek.
Can you point to the room?
Yeah, it's not too far. Straight over there.
Oh yeah,
it's right there.
On the way to the bathroom.
Right by the bathroom. Really good access. Yeah. Take a peek when you go out that way. Just to the left, there's an outdoor terrace as well. That area. So there's for loading. This is probably good for you guys now. Loading wise, there's parking right over here as well as a gate that goes right into the ballroom. And then on the other side, as you go around, there's also a doorway that goes right into. So it's really easy loading.
Sometimes.
Depends on the size.
Yeah. I've done it both ways. Size and teardown.
Hey, what's up, Jerry Beck?
Thank you.
All right.
Cheers.
If I may continue then with your question, Eric, I'd like to say that I almost invariably use two speakers because I like the stereo image, and I want that the bride's entry to be an effect to get attention and to build excitement. So I would go stereo, and I would probably wire up the ballet high as I have in the past. And it's beautiful. Hi everybody, I'm Charlie Bradley Entertainment, and I'll do anything that moves and some things that don't.
Drew,
sorry to bring up a sad memory, but
your
wife
will be disappointed to hear that.
As an ordained minister, I'm qualified to do weddings and memorial services, and so any event that involves public speaking is really, really my strength that I try to target. Being bilingual and bicultural, I cover events in Latin, in Spanish, and in English. Most of you guys already know all these things, but for those of you who haven't been here. And I've been an entertainer since 1958.
Whoa.
I just did the math. 1958.
How many years is that?
a lifetime.
Yeah,
turns
out.
And I was looking at Mark thinking, no way could he be doing
but
this.
So I'm just trying to see who's been
who's doing it longer.
Yeah, Ron or you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go pro, so.
Charlie has? Wow.
Does what?
You've been doing it longer than Ron. That's amazing.
She's trying to get the dinosaur in the room, and you're it.
But you can't always tell a dinosaur by its egg.
Hopefully neither of you will lay an egg.
Charlie is Ron's grandfather.
They actually had... I didn't realize they had DJs back then.
No, it was a puppet show.
Did they have radio?
You said entertainer, not a DJ. He did say that.
Okay.
All right.
It was, yeah, they did, and it had a crank on the side. Okay.
I was going to say, once Franklin flew his kite, it was a different story.
Other than I do stay right up to date with everything in music and in equipment, and so I do video projections and wirelesses and, you know, anything and everything that moves, because I like the action. I like to stay up to date with the kids. I do a lot of quinceañeras, so I have a very collection in English and in Spanish.
Is anybody else here? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Welcome your question.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if anybody else here was bilingual.
Well, that's just what I was about to answer for you. And on that happy note, it gives me great honor and pleasure to introduce a man who is known of great renown for his work and his crew in the quinceañera industry. Alex Sandoval is the owner and operator of SDJ, and we are honored by his presence here today.
Whoa.
Thank
you
very much.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yes, actually, Charlie, he was a minister on my wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Really did a wedding.
He's a minister?
I mean, a minister. Yeah. He officiated the
wedding. Oh,
remember? As a captain, Diane was talking about costumes earlier. My wife. Captain, it was on the Berkeley, the Berkeley in the Bay, and there is no captain for the Berkeley.
Yes.
So I assumed the role and wore a captain's costume, a captain's jacket and braids and stuff.
And that was actually a surprise for my wife, because she... to be dressed like a
I do costume personality things. Diane was talking about my conductor thing. I wore the costume
to the last minute.
Do you do Elvis?
Looks great.
Elvis.
You even had the 4th of July, I think, shirt on too.
Yeah, I do all
the flags and
Charlton has whatever fits. I live on the premise that some people would rather die than speak, and I'd rather speak than die. So I try to do it as often as possible.
Do you have a bigger closet than your wife?
I was curious. My name is Alex Sandoval, and I have a company that's called SDJ Productions, s-dj.com. I'll give you a card. And we do quinceañeras, weddings. We've done weddings in Latin, but also in English, like all American. Referring to the American TV.
Yeah. Thank you.
And American we do also, not just Indian weddings, we do high school dances, mainly in the South Bay, high school, so there, proms. And I think I saw you once, I'm not sure if you were, which one? It was downtown, it was an event on, I really forgot the name of the hotel. You have the boats?
Yeah.
That was you, yeah. We were doing actually a homecoming dance there, Southside. And I saw you were finishing setting up.
Yeah.
So you had the bows, but I wasn't sure.
That's a good error.
But you have the venue. You use the venue uplighting, the LED venue.
Yeah.
Because I use the American DJ, they're smaller, but I noticed the Guitar Center. And
stuff. Oh, okay.
Okay, so it was you. You said the Pioneer, the DJ, and the latest one. I don't know. I like.
It was good gear?
I didn't hear the sound, but I'm guessing it was before the event, so
okay.
I'm guessing both.
Was this the hard rock?
No, it was the wind.
He remembers all your system, but not where he was.
It used to be the Omni, now Double
Three. No. Several W.
Oh, there are a lot of
hotels
downtown.
Western or the W?
It's Broadway. I'll find it. But it was you. Okay, nice.
We don't talk.
Yeah, sorry. I know. It was off track. But like I said, we do also high school dances and bilingual. I have other MCs that are bilingual as well. And, so yeah.
They throw a really fun Latin mix.
We do top 40. We still do like disco. We've done all disco bands. And we do also now we mix videos. We have the screens and we mix videos now live. Most of the quinceañeras and somebody, not depends on the client, the customer. So, but now our music, we're just making sure it's video now, because that's what we do now, mixing videos as well. And we do props, like carnival show, and yeah.
Cool, great, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Edward Sanchez, Brass Ring Mobile Music, also Brass Ring Multimedia. Ron was talking about some of my web work. I started my professional career as a DJ in 1987, so this is my silver anniversary. Although I started my career as a DJ in 1977 in La Jolla Radio, of all things, KLJH, out of La Jolla High School. I was one of the charter members there. I entered a professional world working for KIFM. Bill Calhoun at the time was heading up the mobile operation. I went to work for Ed Bia at the Corvette Diner for a while after that. And then Ofer, who founded this organization, AMMO, as it used to be known, Ofer Shimrat, hired me in 89, I believe it was. And I was with him pretty much until he left the DJ business in 91, I think it was. Worked with Greg Rackley for a few years for Maximum Impact, and since I think about 2002, 2003, it's been all me, Brass Ring Mobile Music. I also do website design. I wear two hats because I found that most of the times Tuesday mornings people aren't sitting around wondering why they don't have a DJ around, but they usually are concerned with their websites. Ron and I have been friends now for, well, it's our silver anniversary as well. I met Ron through Ofer. Used to swipe records from him or borrow them because he had the biggest music library in Southern California, and certainly in vinyl, he's still a runner. I've done a number of websites in association with Ron. Just did a great website for La Jolla Rotary Club of La Jolla and La Jolla Meals on the Wheels, the La Jolla Concerts website. I specialize in WordPress. If anybody knows what that is, it's a content management system. Very powerful system, very popular with people who like to control their own websites. My ideal customer is someone who's a small business person who wants to grow his business, grow his website. WordPress gives you the ability to control your site, update, maintain very simply. I make the transition very easy because I build, for as little as under $400, I build a great website, custom website, so that's your look. And then I train you how to use it. And then during the warranty period, I coach you for free. And then, of course, afterwards, I'm available for coaching or additional training, whatever. I've been doing more and more consult work lately with people who have gotten hold of WordPress and can't get it to do what they want it to do. You know, so I'll come in and help them get it to where they need it to go and be on call. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Hello, my name is DJ Charlie, and I run a company called The Go Disco Entertainment.
Say it again.
The Go Disco Entertainment.
The Go?
Yes. The AGO Disco Entertainment.
Dago. D-A-G-O.
Yes. Like the song in the club, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
how's that go again?
So we are available for all kinds of public and private events, and since I just moved my business from New York, I haven't been able to get very busy, but I'm working hard on it. And I am also open to all kinds of collaboration and working for other entertainment companies. The thing that I don't do much is emceeing. So as I book weddings, I'm looking for experienced and professional MCs to collaborate with. And I'm very grateful for having me, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello, Andrei Chaika. My company is working 4 years in San Diego since 2008. Video party DJs. I mix videos too, but I don't have TVs or screens. I can mix videos if somebody provides connection, like in the club. I also organize European Eurodance parties in San Diego nightclubs. I specialize in Russian American weddings. I can work as a Russian MC for weddings. And I'm the owner of a Russian internet radio station where I have my own mix show as well. That's
all. Cool.
Awesome.
Cool.
International.
My name is Michael Burdett. My company Celebrations Unlimited, and in lieu of any biographical information, one thing I like about this association, I had an event at the Coronado K's room, and they wanted to do their montage, and I hadn't been in that room in a decade. And so the association helped to educate me on what I might expect, and I want to thank everyone for helping me in that respect. But I came across, because of that event, a video challenge. So is it anybody in this group? Eric, are you?
What's the question? It's a
well,
video challenge to
I had a long... S video cable going from my console was a 50 footer to my projector, and I believe I can provide higher quality picture if I do it another way.
Sure.
And HDMI, I had worked with a guy at the RVN, and he said, no, you got to have an amplifier in there, and he says his amplifier was $1,000.
Yeah,
if you
sure.
Run.
There's pros and cons of doing different ways, but it, what's the, I don't know, if, do we want to waste, do we want to talk about it now?
Briefly.
Briefly, because we got to have Ron
speak.
Okay, so really quick, what's the objective? What's the primary objective?
Provide the highest quality picture I can.
And 50 feet is a given, but you have to go 50 feet.
I think 50 feet.
And what are you coming out of, a mixer or a laptop or what?
I... could come out of a laptop or a DVD player.
What are you playing on the video screen?
Of the montage.
And so the montage that they provided to
you.
So they're going to give you a DVD and you want to play it.
Right.
So the DVD player has an HDMI output?
Yes.
So, I think 50 feet is too long for HDMI, but what you can do is come out of the DVD player HDMI if you want to maintain the resolution.
Yeah.
Then you go into it's a Cat5 to HDMI converter.
Uh-huh.
Northern Lights, I think, is the company that a lot of people sell them, but there's a little transmitter on one end, a receiver on the other end, and in between you just use regular Cat5 cable that you can go up like a quarter mile.
Okay, and that's...
You don't lose any resolution.
A couple $100?
Less than that.
Really?
Yeah. You need one
Cat5.
It's called a Cat5 converter.
If you Google Cat5 space HDMI converter or DAC, they're all over the place.
Great.
It's like $100, $150 bucks.
Let me ask you this: does the projector capable of displaying full HD, 1080p? Because also, it doesn't matter what type of. I use VGA.
It doesn't have an HDMI output. I know that.
So. I use VGA 50 feet.
Okay.
For VGA. But here's the thing. I use a PC, certain PC laptop. Uh-huh. They display okay. It's good enough sometimes for some events. But with the Mac, it displays even better.
Yeah.
You use the adapter, they have different. And depending on the projector you have,
mm-hmm.
it depends on the resolution
I
also.
See.
I have some videos that are high quality.
Check the projector.
And you can tell the difference. But it's also, you need to adjust it on the computer. And the projector, if it is capable of playing that. If not, it doesn't even matter if it's HDMI
or
base video.
Do HDMI figured out if it's a projector, it's not a definition.
We can, probably, we can, after the meeting, if you want to talk about it.
Okay.
You can
great.
Thank you.
Primo? I know she introduced you already.
I'll share my bag with you guys.
All right.
So this is the bag I carry when I DJ. I went through like eight of them, but this one I found to be the best. It's called you swing it out, and then you could get, like, if you wanted to, you could get to your camera like this. Yeah. It has, like, a hole there.
That's cool.
Yeah. And what I like about it is, let's shut that up. It has this compartment here for, I used to have, like, when I was DJing, I had my bag on the side, and I'd reach for something. I couldn't find it. My phone or something. I was like, oh, man, I hate this bag. So I've been searching on the internet. So, like, if I have my folder with all my stuff for DJing, it goes right in there, you know, and I pull it out, it has all the information, that bag. And this one is for, like, wallets and other things, like, just a little sack thing.
Roll
that's
base.
This.
Oh, is it?
But I don't need to carry
flashlight. Oh no, my system. And then this is like,
I can see how you kept it in all these.
Professional photographer. It like carries your cameras and videos and all kinds of stuff.
Cool.
Oh, and this, in case something happens, you know, have this.
Directions to your car.
External hard drive.
Whoa.
Cute little one.
Yeah, this is
minor like, dinosaurs. Yeah. Like,
this thing has been sitting around for like 3 years, and I took it off my camera, and I thought, you know, maybe I should put it on. I put it on my camera, right? And so the bride was coming down the aisle, and she was just almost to the end. I grabbed my camera. It was all dark.
Leave it on.
Yeah. And it just has a little compartment there, and then one back on this side, too.
So where'd you get that from?
See if the AC, you know, like ceremony, you go around, you plug it in, and see if it lights up.
Yeah,
circuit
check. Yeah,
circuit check.
And then my batteries died in it. That didn't do much.
I got this. That's called a Tamrac. Everyone say Tamrac.
Tamrac.
Yeah, and it's like a $140 bag.
Whoa,
got it for $99.
Primo, I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you get a commission out of that, are you?
No.
No?
He's their new spokesperson.
Sponsor?
So, we're going to have Ron speak right now, but before he comes out, I just want the members just to stick around after 1:30, because we want to talk about renewal of the association, and then also if anyone's up running for president, vice president, secretary, all that.
Oh, it's that time of year again.
Yeah, it's that time of year again, so, and I'm willing, you know, for somebody else to step into my shoes.
Please
for a year.
What size you're wearing?
because I think it's important that we all like take turns as leaders and bring something new.
New to the table.
Yeah.
Oh, coffee.
So that's
it gets stale with
Congress.
The
has
yeah.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So that's the whole reason why
you open it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So.
But then the rest of us are lazy too.
Well, she's only been president for 2 years. She's not stale.
I didn't say she was. I said
she's a baby. She has many years to go.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Ron Jones.
All right. Ron.
Yeah.
Being here, it's really a charge. It's great to be back in the saddle because, like I said a few minutes ago, I've been out of circulation for the past couple of years with my direction altered. Talking to Mark about the association just a few minutes ago when we came in, giving my handle on what we are, who we are, and why we are, and going back to the initial time, the kind of a nostalgia thing with the books here, and as we were some years ago. We're 20th anniversary, I believe, right this year.
Wow.
This is our two decades now as an organization. And why we were formed was of several reasons. And this is something that he experienced in San Antonio, not able to meet the guys interested in forming a professional association. There was a special type of person, as I explained, that would even come to an organization of this sort And you are here, Andre, and Mr. Daigle are here today.
Charlie?
Is it Charlie? I missed your introduction, sorry. We are together because we are not threatened by our own competition. We are here for a variety of reasons, and one of the course is to learn and to share. And that's something else a lot of entertainers have trouble with, being a maverick industry of sorts. To come together with other people of like minds is not a natural thing, given the egocentric sense of an actor or a performer.
Ego? So there's no ego in this room.
No, there's no, no, there are egos here, of course, but they're tempered by reason. And understanding that, certainly, there's a benefit with association, and that is to learn. And to bring what we know to the table. Certainly now, since we've been together for 20 years, there are those of us who have been in the business. I beat you several years. 1956, I was an actor.
Whoa.
I was an
actor.
Actor.
Shirley Temple, right?
It's on the stage.
Three, number three. The
no ego
involved,
right?
No. The seniority rights here still maintain.
In the words of Indiana Jones, in my defense, I must say, it's not the age, it's the mileage.
The mileage.
I say you just rode hard and put away wet.
I've been wet and rode hard. Were you lubed under the hood?
She started it.
Well, we digress.
My point being that when Diane called and suggested that I come here and speak on master of ceremonyism, the MC, this is something that I've been doing since the mid-60s, quite frankly, and have made more of a living at it in the past decade, focusing on that, given the fact that I do the emceeing for the Concert by the Sea, and anything that happens in La Jolla, they call me, and I step up and they give me the microphone and point, and they say, here's your basic information, and go make something happen. So that's what you do. This is something Charlie's been doing for years. Mike's been doing it. Drew's been on board doing this. And everybody here, Jerry's been doing it. We've all been doing it. And we all have the experiences. And perhaps I've had just a bit more, given the fact that I started in radio in the mid-60s and carried on through playing music for people for all these years. That's what I've been doing.
Had your television show?
The TV shows I've been doing. As a matter of fact, what you just said a minute ago is of interest to me because I am launching in September an internet radio station in conjunction with a middle school in La Jolla, LJRadio.com, La Jolla Radio. And this is something that the problem with internet radio is the monetization, making it pay. This is going to make a lot of money. It's La Jolla Community Radio, and I've been given a non-profit status already, so anything that comes in is going to be tax deductible for anybody. So that's, I'm partnering with education, so what I'm doing. So I'm going to be doing foundation granting and things of that sort. But I applaud your efforts in that. It is a popular entertainment mode anymore, given the docking stations and vehicles as they are, iPods are now put in. Download from the web, go to the cloud, drop a show in, and you're on. So there's a listenership for that. Anyway, that's where I'm going in September. And certainly getting back with the Boomer DJs aspect of things, that's my next 7 years. Now, as far as being an MC, this is something that I'm only going to be reminding you, perhaps, of what it is that an MC does. A master of ceremonies, that's what the designation is. But it's more than that. What you're bringing to any event is presence filled with poise with the experience. The performance is your patter, and it comes from practice. So you're peeing all over the place with these thoughts. And in essence, so the poise comes from the practice, and rehearsal is so important. If you're doing an event, however you prepare your mind, there's information you have to gather, the research, of course. Know your subject matter. If it's a wedding, fine. If it's any kind of an MC circumstance, if you're just doing an introduction of somebody. I was going to have an exercise here today, but we've already introduced each other. But the exercise is you talk to the person next to you for a few minutes, everybody gets a partner, and you introduce each other in the most professional manner you can, rather than just give a couple of facts, but you give it in a form. However that form takes, when, how you do it. We all have style. We all bring style. A lot of things that I've noticed in MCs, in my own critiquing, and I do that, it's always, even the people on TV, I'm watching the MCs of every show. Be careful with humor. That can be a very damaging thing. Sometimes you're not as funny as you might think. Certainly it can go thud. So that can be very harmful. Might not think so. A little levity, perhaps. Be careful with that. That's something that I really suggest you watch. I don't know how you work. The majority of you, do you stand behind your consoles and do the introductions, or do you step out of the dance floor and be nearer the tables? Me, I have a wireless. I am among the tables. I'm walking around. I'm zigzagging all around because it actually, there's an intimacy that you're striving for. Because what you want to do is become not the star of the show. You're not the star. The hosts are the stars of the show. And you're there to hold the spotlight on them. That's your job. But by the same token, you're the director. And by being amongst people, there's an identity that you gain by that. They can actually, you touch them, actually, physically. That is one of the most intimate things possible, but it also brings you into the group. And they begin to care about you. You become a friend, in essence. Not that you are, or that you really care about it. After the show is over, you get your check, you go home. But you've served your purpose. You've brought people together in the celebration of whatever it is you're there to focus on. And there's something else. I really hate Mr. Microphones. The guys that do the announcing. That's old school. Now it's conversational. Be conversational, like I'm doing right now. Watch your intonations. This is something that comes from practice in public speaking. We're not talking about notes. I did a baseball game last month. I've been invited back to do this several times. Now batting, number 42. That's a form of announcing. And it's a lot of fun to do, but it's not real. It's stadium announcing. Okay? So there's different calls for different things. But when you get into a circumstance where it's family, you don't want to be Mr. Microphone. You want to be friendly, the warm fuzzies as you describe it. That's part of the deal, you know? So to become appreciated for that. And that comes from rehearsal. You gotta practice your rap. I do it before. Every time I do a gig, I'm thinking about what it is I'm going to be saying. Now, we all have, I should think by now, many of you do, pretty much a set intro. You've got your catchphrasing. Well, maybe not. I know I do when I'm doing the Prado or the Hotel Del. It's old. And what I do is I allude to the fact that middle of the floor, talking to people, saying there are memories in these walls over 100 years. Presentations of all sorts, people here celebrating, and now we're going to add two more memories to the walls around us. And people go, oh, it's
what's he talking about, Alex?
And how do you get to the point of actually becoming conversant? Several years ago, I brought in.
Sorry.
That's a fine. There's enough to move through.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Slap on the hand.
Yeah, that means giving us your next gift.
How do you get to the point of actual practice? Well, there's rehearsal, of course, before, thinking exactly what you have in mind. But by the same token, being in the moment is very important at every involved gig that you're in. Being right there, watching people, and picking up on things, so that you can maybe make remarks. Watch your humor, though. Remark on somebody or using people's names when you're being introduced. Don't forget their names. It's important. People want to be validated. by aunt, uncle, whoever, people coming from different distances, learn these facts. These are important things because, again, it personalizes you to the organization that you're entertaining, whoever it is that you're there for.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, how does it feel going to a store where, you know, you've been going to line? They refer to you by name.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ron, come on, we got something brand new. I mean, absolutely. Makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm part of the part of the family here.
Same thing. And by the same token, before the event, whoever the principals are, the celebrants, learn stuff about them as well. And become friendly with them because, actually, they're your the connection to the rest of the crowd. And they'll feed you information.
Right.
During your interview processes, learn about the family members and some of the facts, particularly those who are celebrating events, birthdays, things of that sort. It's a no-brainer. I know you've done these things. I'm just reminding you that they're important. They're important to do. How do you get to a point of practice that it becomes easier for you, natural? Several years ago, I was about to say that I brought in some people from Toastmasters. It's a great organization. If you consider speaking to take it to another level, this is a good organization. It's once a week, once a month. They're all over the place. Get involved. You'll really hone your abilities. Even for learning English in a stronger sense, the proficiency of this is where you want to go, it's something you might consider. You speak great English already. I mean, you're there. But I'm just saying to take it to another level. If you want to expand your audience, Russian, great. Is there a large community in San Diego that you're entertaining?
Around 50,000 people.
50,000.
Wow,
maybe
that's
more.
A
thought
so. Audience.
That's yeah, that's a good one. I guess
that's
I understand.
Russian parties.
You're the man. You're the man. I understand. They all know Andre.
San Diego.
That's what I hear.
A lot of people.
A lot of people do. DJ Phil. Yeah, well, that's wonderful. That's good. I know Los Angeles' community is even larger, but I didn't know it was 50,000 in San Diego. That's remarkable.
That's
right. Well, good. Niche marketing is perfect, as you well know. So to become more proficient in that, I don't know. You're doing great, from what I understand. And welcome to San Diego. You know, glad to have you aboard. There's plenty of work for everybody here. There really is, of all ethnicities and or age groups, and that's what I'm looking at too. So there. But Toastmasters is a thing, and the rehearsal factor is something to really consider. I don't know if you do that, or let's see if it interests you, but that's something to go.
Hey Ron, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you ever have an assistant when you did events? Like, so with you being like hands-on, I mean voice on, and you're out and about, who runs the board?
The music.
Who runs the music?
It's all about timing.
You can
measure your rap so that when you're concluding your last words, you're back behind your console and you hit the button. It's all about the timing.
But you rehearse all that. Then.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah, so I know I can fill the void. Mm-hmm. And I know when I'm coming up at the end of my rap, my practice, by rehearsal, then I'm right back there behind the console, right on the cue.
So when you're changing songs for, say, the bridal party into the bride and groom's entrance,
right?
In.
Yeah,
well, as long as they're not asking for a separate
remote
song for
technologies,
each bridal party.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like I've seen them like an iPad, where because I was thinking for me that'd be tough because I rely music is vocal is good with me, but music is foremost because I play on words, so I could be talking and boom. But I need to see like where things are at, you know, because it has to be like that. And I
understand that, but you can time getting behind. There's a point. There's a time for speaking, then there's a time to shut up.
Yeah.
If you don't have anything relevant to say,
you know, it's like
you don't want to fill the air with verbiage just to hear your voice.
Well, we're talking about like professional, like, you know, your introductions. That's what I'm not talking about.
The thing is, technology has given us some great things. If you have the timing and then get the technology, that's great. If you have the technology but you don't have the timing, not as good.
Right.
And the two together, like anything, like being a musician and knowing your craft and then bringing the electronics in, as opposed to somebody who just knows the computer aspect of, you know,
Well, I got to figure out that app. I saw a DJ.
You'll have to go back to DJ Power and get the remote.
I think for DJ software, you can use a smartphone to control it now.
Not a smart. You don't want to be standing with a smartphone.
Well, no, it's like a remote iPad. Control.
There's some pretty small consoles.
What I find that works is that you tell everybody that you're going to be introducing the parents and the bridal party and the bride and groom, and then you pump up the crowd, warm them up a little bit, push the button, and then step away from the booth, you know, where you're out there, and start introducing them. And then when you get your timing, like you said, when you know the bride and groom are next or whatever, then, of course, you're walking back to your booth to get your next song if they have a different song. But it's all about the timing. But I think it does. It took me a while to step away from the booth, but it does look a lot better than just standing behind there and then introducing and stepping out. It makes it more of a connection. Wouldn't you say, Charlie?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I agree. I absolutely agree. And every time, I never step out when I do introductions because, you know, I got to be hitting that music and pulling up stuff as I'm talking. So, you know, I'd be talking, be going like that, and typing stuff in. And I just trying to imagine, like, if I walked away, there would be that, you know, I'd feel a little weird because I'd be like, back to music, and then I'd be thinking about other stuff.
I'm not saying you can't announce behind the front of the console. I'm just saying that initially, but at the top of any event, go out.
Yeah, you're right. I know you. I know you. You know,
welcome
I feel
people
right.
to San Diego. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be even better. It's going to be the ultimate. And bring them, draw them, and look at everybody. When you're speaking to a group, it's very important to connect with the eyes. Look around. Just don't look at the ceiling or look at the floor. Then we've got a problem with a lot of the 20 and 30 somethings now, as far as DJs. These are the kids, so to speak, who are coming up with texting. Communication is very, very thin. A lot of guys don't know how to talk. They just don't. They don't use the phone for speaking. They use the phone for everything else. But certainly in business, and I've been discovering this at my recording studio and advertising, that to get to anybody anymore by telephone is virtually impossible. It's all by email. It's all by texting.
Caller ID.
It certainly isn't by communicating directly. Then back in the day, not that far years, many years ago, to talk to somebody in business, you do an eye-to-eye over a desk with an appointment, and you discuss the products. Not anymore. It's all online. So we've got, I think, a communication gap coming in grand order, which, again, is, well, in a sense, is to our benefit because we have been doing the emceeing for a while, and that makes us, I think, that much more valuable. And that's the price point issue. You've got something extra to offer. You have a way to present in an MC fashion what it is that people are expecting, quite frankly. But I think the product is changing just a bit, a couple of generations back. What, you agree with me or not?
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Am I just speaking crazy?
No, not at all.
Okay. So, that's what I'm seeing. A very difficult time. You guys are looking at me, and I'm delighting in that. That's great. But certainly, a lot of guys, distraction is ADD. Mm. It's just rampant anymore. And to get attention and hold their attention, I don't have any graphics here. I'm sorry. I've got 5 seconds and it's over, you know?
There's an app that can handle that.
Kathy just made something great. I see this so many times. Shaking hands. Oh, well, this has some eye contact. Not looking over here. I got that all the time now. Man, look at me. I'm right here. But they can't. The communication is uncomfortable for them.
They ever shake some hands?
I compare it to kind of a Star Trek thing, the Borg. The high school kids in the 20s, they're Borg now. They're all connected. And they don't have... They
connected
can't be,
this way.
This is huge. Everybody's doing their own thing. They're not reaching out and communicating. So, again, this is something that the benefit to the association... Learn by sharing, and that's what I'm doing today is just reminding you of your value, quite frankly. And that's about it.
All right.
When you go out and you need a source of names, say you're going to do some introductions from around the room, do you use a large piece of paper like so, or do you try to use something that's going to fit?
I use note cards.
Yeah, so it's going to fit more into the
recipe
corner,
cards
right?
in the pocket.
Better than this type of thing, right? Where you're going, well, you know, you got this big thing up in front of your
you
face.
Can hold, you can palm
you can
it.
Do this. Yeah.
You palm it. You know?
Yeah,
that's
it. Someone kind of turn me on that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're at an event, multi-demographical, maybe it's a wedding. We have the basic information. We've maybe talked to a few tables. We know where they met, blah, blah, blah. One question that really stands out that you've come up with, asked in the past, that really was lively, interesting, and fun. One question that comes to mind when I say that. Not standard, just something that came out of the Jones brain. And I know it's there.
It's actually, again, being in the moment. There's nothing prepped on that. There's no one.
No, nothing prepping. But can you remember one that you came up with where you patted yourself later going, that was good?
No. I can't, really.
I'm going to keep asking
there's
that
so
question.
Much in the moment that when the moment passes, still is that thought.
Yeah,
it's gone.
The question doesn't, it's invalid. The question is only valid in the moment.
Yeah, it is.
It's the question is predicated on everything that's led up to that moment.
Yeah, so it's so important to pay attention. That's what you've got to do.
It's the little details, like saying, you know, it's Joe and Sandy, you're going to come cut the cake rather than it's time for the bride and groom.
Yeah. You want names. You personalize everything as much as possible. And that's the value of being in the moment and also caring about what you're doing. And that's something else that is very important. You got to love the biz.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys over the years have come to this association, and they're not so much loving the business. They're in the business for business, not for the entertainment aspect. It's not in their DNA. Entertainers are an interesting breed. This is what they live and breathe. This is what they live for. It's the excitement. It's all the things that are brought by performance. And to look at it as a business. Okay, well, that's what we tried to balance out with the association, business and performance, and marrying the two. Because typically, entertainers are crappy businessmen. Yeah. And businessmen are crappy entertainers. So, bringing together,
getting better.
That was the trick. And that was the whole reason for this book to be formed in the first place. To give customers a valuable, or absolutely a reliable group of people to go to and be able to trust. And that's why we said no to some memberships. It was the members who tried to get into the group. We said no. And we got rapped for that bad over the years. You know, what do you mean? I'm not good enough? No, you're not.
Love it.
So that was it. And so we kept the organization that kept it clean. And look at the longevity. This says a lot about this group. It's still together. Where a lot of other organizations have folded and gone. And as a matter of fact, we should be proud of the fact I've got some folders over here of other organizations, other DJ associations around the country that were formed based on our
model.
Based on our model and our charter. And that's a point of pride. And Ed mentioned Ofer Shimrat, one of our founding guys. He was instrumental in creating this.
I loved working for Ofer.
And we were together the first days. We went through a lot of growth with Duffy Fainter.
He had his act together, so I mean, he still does.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying that we sat down and really thought about this organization and what we wanted to do and the direction. And here we are today still doing it. And that is a point of pride for me.
I think timing is everything with like MC because like you notice how you said like a joke would you know fall flat if it's like 3 seconds late you know it could be you know if you'd have said it 3 seconds earlier you know trying to be humorous then it works and if you are a witty person then you have
there are word plays and things that you can just throw across and if people catch it. That means they're listening.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
real
don't,
quick.
Don't make a focus on it.
Can everybody please pay Michael for the
how much is it?
The lunch for the for the members is 10 and the guests is 15. And thank you again. Let's give a round of applause one more time to Ron. I have a couple of tips too I want to throw in there, and one of the reminders is when you first make your announcement, to remember to smile first.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, smile first. And then another tip is on your drink, you know, try not and have a cold soda or something cold. They said it strengthens your voice. So make sure that you don't have that before
Straight vodka.
The next. Because I like to have a Coca-Cola. It just gives me extra energy. Like, you know, but just don't do it before your announcements because it constricts it. Your vocal cords.
Sure, are you?
Okay. And then the other thing was a lot of stuff you covered, so I could skip all that, like making the eye contact going around the room. Best to be yourself. If you're more serious, don't try and be funny. If not, it won't come across
natural.
Yeah, and it says to thine own self be true.
Shakespeare.
Here's another one. Visualize your success. Professional athletes have learned to program their subconscious mind to record success patterns. So before your event, visualize the success of your event, and then also practice, like what you said, go through your speech and what you're going to say and kind of...
Well, may I add, visualize, that's a very motivational phrasing, visualizing success. Mm-hmm. Visualize the event.
Yes.
Walk through it beforehand. You get a better handle.
Well, you generally do that, right, with some type of itinerary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ahead of time.
Visualize the bride and the groom both showing up.
Be prepared. Yeah.
Does anybody get nervous before they announce?
I used to.
I mean, me too.
25 years later, I still
sweat. You still do?
Okay.
Okay, to help overcome your nerves, remember your audience is behind you, especially at a wedding, because they find it they're the most supportive audience. So just remember that they are, you know, they're for you.
That must be why I like weddings.
And you know what? That really helped me a lot when I learned that. It got rid of my nerves. It was like, if once I accepted that, like, you know what? They're behind me and they're 100% and they know I'm not perfect or whatever, that it just made it much easier for me.
Mm-hmm. So. I tried the picture of them naked thing, and at weddings, great grandma's over there, and it just
how many of you guys acknowledge the caterers with the round of applause at the end of dinner?
It's not about them.
No, sometimes.
Sometimes.
If their service has been exceptional and the guests have enjoyed the meal, it's been a great.
And they refer to you the gigs.
Help other people succeed. Always.
I certainly wouldn't want to recognize
always help people succeed.
Because it's the bride and groom's day, so everything I do zeroes in, even if it's roundabout, zeroes in on whoever those honored guests are. So the other people, you know, we're paid to be there. So, you know, let's give a hammer. For the DJ, you know.
Well, because you're pumping up the bride and groom like all day long on the microphone about everything. I don't think
they get a
to do it if you feel like maybe they referred you or you want to pump them up. At picnics, I do it anyways. I was just wondering if anyone did it.
I object to that. I don't think it's a good thing to note the servers, quite frankly, because etiquette is that when you are served a plate, you don't acknowledge the server. That's manners. You don't say thank you. You don't even do that.
Ouch.
So, you don't.
Ouch. No, they're people too.
Really?
Without all the little people, we wouldn't be
saying,
here.
Proper etiquette, standard, around the world, except in America.
Let me hear what Charlie has to say about it, because he says he does. So.
I want to thank the little people.
Timing is up.
Where is Primo?
I was just curious about that. I've only done it like at picnics, so I just wonder if anyone else did.
Every time.
Oh, okay. So, how many of you guys have a microphone ready for yourself, and then you have your wireless microphone for them for the toast? Does pretty much everybody?
I share mine because I only have one mic.
Okay. Check. But you want to get for sure two because you always want to have a backup.
I have a backup. I mean two in play. I have a backup.
Oh.
But I only have one.
You know
in play.
What's really good about having two?
Oh,
is
it's wonderful. I just don't have the capability.
Oh yeah, but
well,
don't all mixers
have a wired? And then you wireless? Use a wireless, right?
Well, I'll tell you why it's nice. Some of you probably do the same thing. Is when you announce that so-and-so is going to give the toast, they're making their speech, right? So as soon as they're done, this is what used to happen. All of a sudden, there'd be dead space, and then they'd walk over, and they'd give the mic to the next person. But what I've learned to do is that on the mic, I announce the next person. Yeah, so that's what's good about the two mics. The other neat thing is like a long time I did, was after the toast, there would be like, you know, dead air time, whatever, and then announce their first dance. But then I've learned to always have a song ready. It doesn't, you know, just to fill in that air so it's not completely silent. So right after the toast, just make sure you have something in there before you announce, like, the first dance or something.
There better not be a way for the system.
Well, you know, there's no time for that, to walk around for that.
Well, if you're, because sometimes if I do leave, that's when I leave my station. Like, if I'm introducing, because there's no music, I don't have to worry about like putting on a song. So if I'm saying the first toast will be presented by so and so, and boom, I'm there with the, you know, giving.
Yeah, well, what happens is, like, I just let the mic stay out there that they're using, and then I just make the announce, you know, okay, now they're going to be doing their, you know, the parents dance or whatever, and then I get it. You know, but at least I announce that and just keep it moving, or just some background music, something. Then I can go get it.
If there's toasts, if there's like two or three toasts, I say, you know, we're going to hear from the best man, John, first, and right after, you know, then we're going to hear from Mary, our maid of honor, and then we're going to hear from so and so. So everybody knows who's going to speak.
Right, I do that too.
But I'm standing beside them.
Right.
When they're done to take back the mic.
Oh, okay. But then there's like dead space then.
About 2 seconds worth as I run through the room.
Oh, really? That's like 2 seconds.
Why don't you have the person giving the toast introduce the next person?
I don't
know. No, I'm standing between.
I
mean,
I know the people that are going to be doing, I even go over and talk to them and all that, but on top of it, I introduce them, and then they get applause before that person even speaks, and I think it,
you can run a wire,
you know, makes it more special, right? They get an applause before they speak.
Diane, your way is an excellent way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just sharing.
Can you say, like,
well, also being married to just doing things one way over the years.
And I got one more.
All right, one more. Here we go.
Okay.
This is the big money one.
Okay, have you ever, you know, when you do those big events, like 350 people, and they're all talking, and, you know, you make the announcement, all right, you know, or, you know, they want to talk, or the host, they want to use your mic, and they have this little low voice. You know, no matter what you do with your system, they just have this small, they don't have that projection in their voice.
Or they hold it.
Yeah, they have the microphone.
Yeah. And they hold it right down here. The best thing to get their attention where they're absolutely silent and everybody listens and their all eyes are on it, do the THX. Blast it really loud. And then dead silence.
They stop.
Yeah, yes,
where's the audience?
You know what I'm talking about? THX?
Yeah. The sound effect.
Oh, the sound effect.
Yeah. Just crank that up and it just gets everybody that, like, it makes something really special is going to happen.
It's the greatest piece of production.
Yeah. I'm saying, contrasting that would be, how do you get people's attention when you want to start making your announcements?
Just start talking, right?
No.
Another one is the shorts, too.
I don't know.
I don't do that because it's demeaning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What I do is, let's say, oh, may I have your attention, please? In English or Spanish, I say, oh, thank you, stay with it. Just look at me. Like, positive reinforcement to those that actually listen in, and sometimes they'll go, what's going on? And then reward, like...
There's a very easy way if you've got the courage to do it. Stand there.
Yeah.
What?
And wait. Stand there and wait for...
Stand there on the floor and just be quiet. This was something that was practiced by Adolf Hitler. He could quiet a stadium of 100,000 people by simply standing up on the lectern and just...
He was defeated.
It wasn't that. He was standing there and became quiet because he was just standing there.
Because he killed people.
That's right.
Speak out of your race.
know, certainly.
I've seen it.
Not just people,
the
whole race.
The Christ doesn't the example was what got us off the track.
I was going to say, my dad got
that. Neither were Eric nor I like that suggestion.
We're going to wrap it up because it's past time.
All right, past time.
Got to go.
One more, and then I got to do the raffle.
Obviously, it depends on when you're going to do it, but if you're in the middle of like the cocktail program and so on, a real easy way to do it is to run your volume up gradually, slowly, until it's louder than the speech level in the room. And then as you fade it, you'll discover that it falls into a bed, everything opens up, and you're ready to speak.
I like the THX because it's the same idea, but with hello, there's something going to happen.
Oh, it works great. Every like time.
I just say mine is better as his contrast.
Hey, can I say one more thing?
Okay.
But this is I want to give special recognition to Eric over here who helped me with getting a bar mitzvah with stuff. And this is what the group is all about, is sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Because my thought is, I don't know, like out of this pitcher of water, I know about that much. And all this I don't know, but I know the people that do know it. Yeah. So if I know who to go to, then I want to just say thank you for not just this one, but over the years, all the just different things that you've done.
Jerry, that was very cool.
Yes.
No.
You just gave somebody credit.
Yeah.
Okay, can we play around now? Has anybody ever done the wedding shoe game?
The love shoe game?
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Yep.
We're both
yep.
I need to get it down.
In daytime weddings
shoe?
Where I have a hard time,
yeah.
Where I have a hard time mm-hmm. getting dance response, daytime weddings, no alcohol, people yeah, are more sensitive.
Have you ever awarded a prize or a gift or sided up teams?
No. What
or
this is for people
it?
That don't know is we sit the bride and groom in the middle of the room facing their backs to each other. Each of them holds one shoe in their hand. One
yeah.
is their shoe, one is their spouse's shoe. And with them not facing each other, we ask them a series of questions. Who was the first to kiss? Who
made the first move?
You know, who made the first move? Who
does
cleans
the
more? You know, who brought up the idea of marriage? Who said I love you first? And you have a list of
who
questions you ask.
Covers.
And the way they ask is by raising the shoe of the person. You know, so if it was me, I'd raise my shoe. If it was my spouse, I would raise their shoe. And what's funny is when they each raise a different shoe.
Yeah.
And it brings the audience in. It's very fun. It's very interactive.
How long do you keep that going?
I think
about
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
How do you get a winner?
Do you have music?
There is no winner.
No
it's
winner.
A, it's a matter
yeah.
of just, you know,
stop
bringing the crowd
old.
In and kind of bringing everyone's focus in on the couple.
On
sure.
points
out
the
I tried it once, and they were just lifting their shoe. Every question, their shoe would go up. It kind of lost its effect about the third question. It was like, who takes out the trash first, and their shoe goes up.
You ask, well, the humor comes in, and one, on the questions you ask, and two, when they start putting up different shoes. Because that's funny, you know, if you think you're the one that cleans more, or you think you're the one that's ready.
So it depends on their audience.
But who are they laughing at? The girl putting up his shoe, or the guy putting up her shoe?
They're laughing at the difference of opinion.
So the question's got to be key. So
like
you get your questions
maybe
ahead of time.
Maybe I've
yeah.
out the pitch.
Well,
okay.
I have set
like
list of questions.
Okay.
If I ask you, like, who takes care of money in the family, and you raise your hand and she raises her hand, then it's sort of funny.
I ask who raises, you know, who wears the pants in the family, and that's always a good one.
Yeah, that's a different, better, funnier way to ask it. Who wears
pants
in
the
family?
Yeah.
So the questions, the humorous questions.
Maybe you have
yeah.
the right questions.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
how do you end it with, you know, how do you end it? Just give them a round of applause for both
I just,
of them.
I just round it up and, you know, and
just,
say, you know, thanks for letting us.
And it has to be the right crowd.
But the crowd
too.
Is always laughing at the same level at each joke because they're going to lift up a shoe. It's like, ooh.
Maybe
it's not
a good
activity.
We'll
just have a button up
for the
DJ.
I think he might have just talked about you are not
having
it.
I think he just might have had that one that was maybe off, so he thinks that they're all off, but it was maybe just
I
off.
Really, it's only he.
I think
off.
You have to see it. Is it on YouTube? Come on, check it out. Is it
I don't
YouTube?
Know.
Okay. Everything's on YouTube.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
I've seen a
this
DJ do it
YouTube
one time and it went great. He got the whole place like laughing and cheering on. I've never seen anything. They got him out from LA.
Brilo?
No, this guy. They hired him from LA because he's really, really good at all these games, and he did it, and it just got the whole place like crazy and rocking.
The Shugu game?
I think it was music.
Like at the beginning and then at the end?
Yeah, music, just pumped up. But he was like amazing MC. I've never seen anyone like it. I remember seeing him do it like really, really good. Yeah.
Are there other games you've done at weddings to get some laughs into the crowd? You've got a daytime event. There's no lighting. There's no excitement particularly. But something like this that gets interaction between the bride and groom and the audience that helps to involve them?
Just the kissing game, you know, where you tell them that you want a list of like 70 couples, like really dear to them, to be involved.
And they 70?
Seven couples. Oh, okay. But the guests don't know. But you just tell them, oh, we're going to do the kissing game, and I got a bowl here of couples, and we're going to have a contest. And then you pull out the name, and you say, we want to see you kiss and show the bride and groom how it's done. Uh-huh. And we do have a prize for the winner. So when they first do it, they just do a kiss, and they do the courtesy clap, you know. But as time goes on, they get creative. They start doing the dip, pinning against the wall, and just like, you know, and it creates excitement, you know what I mean? And then their friends or family members that they actually picked, you know.
The grandparents.
Do you run this by the bride and groom, or is this like if it's like daytime?
I don't run that one by the couples. It's only when they say, oh, we want to, do you have any games? Or they want, they're very interactive. Like Filipinos, they love entertainment. Those are the people that
like this. So, day of, like, you're like, okay, just show nobody's dancing, the sun is shining. I'm going to do a game.
No. This is all, that is pre planned because they got to give you the list of names, you know.
No, that one, the Love Shoe game, I will throw in that. I won't discuss it ahead of time, right? I'll just throw that out there.
And you probably have the same question. Don't use a pink side last time. It doesn't have to be gross.
Oh, the fake, you know, do you guys have the tingle thing for the glass? Like the sound effect?
Oh. Yeah.
You know, like in case they don't know about it, they're not doing anything, they don't have glasses, sometimes they have cups or whatever.
Yeah.
You just start that little tingle and you kind of get it going, you know, so, you know, draws attention.
Oh,
the kissing. You know, do the fake tingle. You know, it kind of gets everyone.
Tinkle.
I have my own
In honor of this timeless tradition,
there is a difference for questions and answers. You don't want to tinkle when you could be tingling.
Before we go, I just want to say that getting back to the saddle again, I would accept any referral to fill the calendar. I've got some blank spots for the next several months. That could be utilizable.
Thank you for being honest. Sometimes people are not quite so honest.
Yeah, I'm booked all the time.
Yeah.
You're booked right now.
Are you doing Foreigner? Are you doing like Foreigner and Bad Company? Is that Boomer or are you doing just the Turtles?
That's Boomer stuff, yeah. Up to the 70s. Disco years are hot.
How about 80s?
Up to near the 80s. People were still doing the clubs, you know. So there's the new wave, as it was called then.
Having done some research on the website, there's quite a, you know, the boomer generation, you know, we're talking about 50s
generations of music
through 80s, 90s.
What if they asked you for something like you're playing boomer stuff for, 4 hours or something, and they asked you like for some top 40, do you go there? Or
sure.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Oh, you give them the last
one. I told them to go.
Well, this has been an entertaining meeting.
Sure.
Come on. I like it.
Thanks for bringing some life back into this.
Yes, I would like to ask him a question.
Charlie would like to ask you something.
I would like to ask all of you a question regarding MC. When it comes to people who have foreign accents, I know there are only two of us here. Do you think it's better to work hard, practice, rehearse, learn, and do it by ourselves, or it's better to have someone else do this part for us?
Oh. If you're not confident, I would say have someone else do it for you, but you're going to need some practice.
Go out with other DJs confidence. And have them show you what they do.
I have an answer to that question. I quit being in a band a long time ago because I had to split. The income. When you're the MC and the DJ, it's a one-way split, so it's a no-brainer. You make more money that way. Number two, as the MC and the DJ both simultaneously, you're in touch with everything that's going on. So you not only know the music program that you want to play, but you know the people that you're playing for. So it's instantaneous to make your announcements and relate them to the music you're playing. I think it's a great advantage. Third, it's romantic. Having an accent makes you a personality. You're international. You're cosmopolitan. And you got a great look, man. You should be out there with your voice. You should go to Toastmasters to follow Ron's suggestion because you'll learn tricks of the trade that will make you an instantaneously attention-getting speaker.
Yeah, you're
go to work
and get experience.
Go to work.
And if all else fails, fake an English accent.
Your deficiency, if any, wouldn't be your accent. It would be just your lack of training in speaking.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a teacher used to say, practice makes proficient.
What would help with you too is if you just talk slower and more clear. That way people can understand what you're saying.
I think the Toastmasters will come in handy.
Hey, yeah. And one more thing, dude. You're in San Diego. Do it in Spanish.
A lady. She's Russian. She speaks Spanish and English.
I like it.
And I'm like, she talks to me in Spanish. I'm like, you have to.
Did everyone say?
It might not be the Russian.
Just for one, though. Yeah. So now we got to talk. I guess we're done with the meeting, but we got to talk with the members about the dues and also if anyone wants to run
for an office.
Yeah, for an office.
I have a question. Can I just say something really quick? I have a daughter waiting for me at a mall. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for coming.
Good seeing everyone.